Hare Krishna. So, because today is such a wonderful day and a great opportunity to associate with many great devotees, associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. So we're going to not have a Srimad Bhagavatam reading today. We'll be by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and by your mercy, the mercy of these great persons, we'll try to speak a few words about their life and teachings. So today is the disappearance day of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as well as the appearance day of Raghunath Das Goswami, the appearance day of Raghunandana Thakur, the appearance day of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and the appearance day of Vishnupriya Devi. So it's a very... Plus, it is also Vasant Panchami today, the first day of spring. So it's a great day, great way to start the spring season by glorifying these wonderful devotees. So many of you know this psalm. Although it's only Vishwanath Chakravarti's Tirubhav today, nonetheless, the song is not only applying to their, you can say their, when their pastimes become apricot or unmanifested, it can apply to just feeling separation from them. So we'll sing this song, which is customary to sing on the departure days of great Vaishnavas. If I do have some spare songbooks here, which you are welcome to borrow, kind request to please return them at the appropriate time. I don't know what page the song is on, in fact. Perhaps someone can find the page number. I can't find the page number of this song. Yeya Nilo Prema Donna. You can pass a few books around. There's a few more here if anyone needs it. Page 74. I'll use my own song. Who? Krishna. The kirtan will go on. It's such an ecstatic kirtan. Of course, it's the devotees are ever existing. They may not be manifest before our eyes, but they're eternally present. And they're eternally present in their instructions also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes how he reasons ill who tell that Vaishnavas die while thou art living still in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living try to spread the holy name around. When we say living, it means manifest within this world. They never die. They appear in this world as the sun appears at dawn and appears to disappear at sunset, at dusk. But the sun is always there. These great devotees are always there. Sometimes they give their association to us in their his form, their Vapu form, their Sadaka Rupa forms, and sometimes they don't. But we can always get their association in their Vani form and serve them in the sense of Vani Seva. So today we have a great opportunity. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Bhakti Aloka, one of his many wonderful compilations, describes how the path of, or hearing about the path of these great personalities, these associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, causes the awakening of determination, courage, and satisfaction. Specifically, he notes Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa, Sanatan, Haridas Thakur, great associates of Lord Chaitanya. He said, I can't describe how much satisfaction and happiness I feel in hearing about them and hearing about the path which they show us, the example which they give. They are our Siksha gurus. We talk a lot about Diksha, Siksha, Vatma Pradarshika, and so on gurus. But the absolute Siksha gurus, those who guide us how to serve Krishna, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, are prominent. Haridas Thakur and the Nam Yoga. These are our Siksha gurus teaching us how to practically utilize our lives in the proper way to go back to Godhead. So it's a great opportunity today. And these days there's sometimes even big people, when they have their birthdays or special events, they open the door so everyone can come and maybe just, walk past them or offer them a flower or say a few words or whatever. There's a little bit of open house. So on these days also, it's a very special open house day. I mean, today, of course, there are Radhasham Sundar, also the deity of Radhasham Sundar's appearance day today. But you can go to the Radhagokulananda temple there in the city, in the town. There we can see the deities which were worshipped by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Srila Shalagram, the Govardhan Srila worship, which was given by Lord Chaitanya to Raghunath Das Goswami. They are present there. And like that, we can take advantage of these days. Different samadhis, you can go to the 64 samadhis area. Raghunandana Thakur Samadhi is there. You can go to Radhakund, of course, there. Raghunath Das Goswami's Samadhi is there, as well as the place where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was performing his bhajans, his kutir. So we'll sing this song just to get us in the mood. This is a song by Narottam Das Thakur. It's on page 74, I believe. Is that correct? 74? And I apologize if you don't have a songbook. Try to share the songbooks as much as you can if you've got an iPhone or iPad or something or another with it on, or if you know it. Very good. And this is Narottam Das's lamentation. It said, in separation from great devotees, or when the devotees depart this world, it's a great festivity. It's a glorious festivity. It's the culmination of their life of devotion. And generally they're recognized more when they depart the world than when they're appearing in the world. So their departures from this world are honored in many cases more than the appearance. But there's no difference there. Everything about them is glorious. So we take advantage of both appearance and disappearance. So he's lamenting their absence from our vision. Their absence, that we don't have the opportunity to hear from them directly. We can hear their instructions. We don't have the chance to become purified directly in their association. So he's lamenting this, all the great associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who had departed at that time when he compiled this song. Not all of them, just a few of them. So let's sing it through. Then we'll try to discuss. Time is so short. And there's so much which could be read, could be discussed. Ye anilo premadana karuna pracho yeha nilo premadana karuna pracho ina prabhu Kotagila Acharya Thakur Ina Prabhu Kotagila Acharya Thakur
Kahamura Swarubhrupa Kahasanata Kahamura Swarubhrupa Kadasa Raghunatha Patita Pavan Kadasa Raghunatha Patita Pavan Kamura Pata Juga Kaha Kabira Kaha Mora Pata Juga Kaha Kabira Hikakale Kota Gela Koranata Kota Gela Koranata Pashane Kutipo Mata Anale Pashibo Pashane Kutilo Mata Anale Pashibo Goranga Kune Anidhi Kota Kile Pabo Goranga Gunera Niri Kota Kile Sesaba Sangira Sange Jekho ilho bilas Se sabha sangira sange Jekho ilho bilas Se sangha na paya kande narutamada Se sangha na pala kande narodhada Ye anilo prema dana karuna prachor Ye anilo prema dana Karuna prachor Hino prabhu kota Kila acharya tako Hino prabhu kota Kila acharya tako
Premanandi Hare Krishna. If you could kindly pass the song books back, it would be very appreciated. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. They're not easy to obtain here, these English song books. I don't know if you can find any here. So. Om Jnanatimanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Dvitam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagadpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishri Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. We have to move very little speedily and briefly. So please bear with us. And many of you here today are more qualified than myself to speak on this subject, but I'm blessed and fortunate to have this opportunity to glorify the devotees. It's the perfection of life. Akshnopalam twadisham darshanam hi. To perfection, it is stated in the Hari Bhakti Sudadaya, the perfection of one's eyes is to get the darshanam hi, the association of the devotees, to know palam twadisha gatra sangha, the perfection of the touch is to touch the bodies of the devotees. Jiva palam twadisha kirtanam hi, the perfection of the tongue is to glorify the devotees. Sadulavam bhagavata hi loke, because in this world it is very rare to find the opportunity to associate with such a great personalities as we have today. So I don't know where to begin. Where begin? Ladies first. Well, first of all, today is the Sant Panchami, as was announced this morning also. And this is the first day of spring, and you may have noticed the weather has changed. The fog did not come this morning, and it's distinctly warmer. Amazing how almost to the day the seasons change. So it's a wonderful day, and if you go around Braj, you'll see the blossoming mustard seed flowers, the beautiful yellow flowers of all the fields covered in yellow. So this day particularly, the deities are dressed in yellow, yellow flowers, green and yellow flowers. It's a great day to start new things, to initiate new activities and so on. Very auspicious day. So it's even more auspicious for all these other transcendental reasons of appearances, disappearances, and so on. But we'll start ladies first. The divine consort, eternal consort of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Mother Vishnu Priya Devi Dasi. Mother Vishnu Priya is, of course, Lord Chaitanya had already been betrothed to Lakshmi Priya. She had passed away in separation. Mother Sachi Devi was very concerned. Now her son was without wife, and she was very concerned. She thought it was wise. She consulted that he should marry again. So who to marry? So Vishnu Priya was the beloved daughter of Sanatan Mishra, one very well-to-do and famed, well-educated Brahmin in Navadvip. And he had the most beautiful daughter who was most qualified, Vishnu Priya. Her beauty was unparalleled. She was also unendingly chaste to her parents. She worshipped and served them like a loving daughter in every way. She imitated all their devotional activities as a young child. And Mother Sachi, she used to go every day to the Ganga, and Vishnupriya used to go to the Ganga. She would pay her obeisances every day to Mother Sachi. This was a long time before they were married, Gauranga Mahaprabhu to Vishnupriya. But even then, Mother Sachi Devi was thinking, this girl, she's just a small five-year-old girl, would be an ideal wife for my son, Nimai. And it was, of course, later it did happen. And she would offer her obeisance to Sachi, when Sachi Devi would bless her, may be blessed with an excellent husband. She would bless the little girls like this. So this is how you get what you want, if you want, so to speak. You have to get the blessings. You behave properly, and then automatically things come. So she was very dear to her parents, and she was, of course, she's none other than the Bhushakti, and the Lord has three primary Shaktis, Sri, Bhu, and Nila, and she's the Bhu, the creative. She's more than that, she's also partial Ladini Shakti, expansion of Samvit, and Ladini Shakti is the internal potencies of the Lord to create pleasure and facilitating knowledge of the spiritual realm. So she's none other than the internal Shakti, the Srup Shakti of the Lord, his eternal internal potency. Appeared to assist or to accompany the Lord in his pastimes. So, and when Krishna appears, he appears in all of his various forms. When Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, she was also present as Satyabhama, an expansion. Satyabhama is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. So she's the same potency, basically speaking. And her father, Sanatana Mishra, he was none other than have a guess. Guess who her father was in Krishna Leela? Satrajit. He was King Satrajit. You think they appear to assist the Lord in various ways in their pastimes. So Mother Sachi was thinking who to get my son married to now that Lakshmi Priya has departed. So she consulted Kashinath, who in Vedic times, maybe today, they have these matchmakers. That's not the ones who make those matches that you strike. It's got something in common. They do kind of strike fire between boys and girls in some ways. Kashinath, he was Mother Sachi's, known to her, and he was an expert matchmaker. So he'd been watching. They watched the proclivities of the children. And he said, I know who's the exactly perfect match for your son. So he went off and he said, this Vishnupriya is the perfect match. And Mother Sachi was very happy to hear this, but she thought, we are very poor. How will this be possible? They are very rich. We have no means to, how will he marry his beautiful young daughter to someone who's coming from a poor family? And said, don't worry, how she will resist. Your son, Nimai, is the most beautiful personality who exists, and he's also the greatest scholar. Everyone loves him. He cannot resist. So he went off, and Sanatana Mishra was delighted to hear this. So all the arrangements were made, and Budhimanta Khan and others, they financed the whole wedding. Everything was arranged so nicely. And indescribable. You can read it, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Tremendous description of the wedding. It just goes on for page after page. It's such a big event. We're not going to get into the details of that. Anyway, that life goes on. And they were married, but not much is mentioned about Vishnupriya. She was a very faithful, chaste wife who would just support her husband. And after Gauranga Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya, Lord Chaitanya wasn't quite the same ever again. He was a bit like a madman. And family life was a bit unusual. To say the least, he would bring things to him and he would sit there like a statue just chanting Hare Krishna. He wasn't very, you could say, it didn't appear to be very kind of intimate. It was on another level. Anyway, at one point of time, as you may know, Lord Chaitanya decided to leave his family life, although he had no offspring. And with very little notice, he decided to take sannyas, and Vishnupriya got wind of it. She could understand this was his intention, so the day before she was feeling greatly distressed, and she approached the Lord, "My Lord, please, I have this feeling that you're going to leave and go away." And then Lord Chaitanya consoled her. He spoke some high philosophy about, all these relationships in this world are all temporary. They're not very important. The only important thing is, ultimately the Supreme Lord. And then he manifested his forearm form to Vishnupriya, and she was slightly consoled. But she begged him that she's been born in this world as the most lowly wretch, how she could not live without him. Please don't go. But then he said, "Don't worry, if you just think of me, I will be with you immediately, wherever I am." So, next morning, of course, Lord Chaitanya had already gone, and Sachidevi was heartbroken, and when Vishnupriya woke, she went to sleep with Lord Chaitanya in the same bed. She woke up, she put her arm to the side, empty, nothing there. She was completely distraught with sorrow, crying and crying and crying, unbearable separation. It was like a thunderbolt struck her heart. It was almost unbearable. For the rest of her life, she didn't get the direct association of the Lord. Unlike the other associates, when Lord Chaitanya came, she was not able to get his association. But she spent the rest of her life worshipping the deity manifested, identical form of Lord Chaitanya in the form of a deity, and now worshipped in Daneshwara, in Navadvip, deity of Lord Chaitanya. She worshipped him every day. She would offer him rice. She would chant japa non-stop. Every time she finished one round, she put a grain of rice aside, and that she would cook and offer to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and that was her sustenance. This way she spent her life absorbed in worshipping her beloved, eternal Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who else do we have? Raghunandana Thakur? Just brief. Raghunandana Thakur was the son of Mukunda. Mukunda Das was a physician. There are many Mukundas in Chaitanya Lila. This one was a physician. They came from the town of Kunda, Sri Kunda. And he was a great devotee of the Lord, as Mukunda, although he's a physician. And he was worshipping the deity of Gopinath, deity in his home. And his little son, who was just merely, a small boy, maybe 5 or so years old, but a great, incredibly devoted child. One day Mukunda had to go off on some medical business, so he said to his son, who'd been watching him, he said, "Today I want you to do the offering." And he'd already prepared the offering for the Bhog, Raj Bhog offering. He said, "Today I want you to offer everything. I have to go. Just make sure that Krishna gets his offering, okay?" And he knew how to do it more or less. So Mukunda left, and Raghunandana was at home. And meanwhile, the time came to make the offering. So he brought the offering onto the altar and closed the curtains and started ringing the bell. He placed the boga on the tables and was ringing the bell, and he saw that nothing was happening. The food was still there. He was an innocent child. He was thinking that Krishna was going to eat it. So he said, "Oh no." He was getting very worried. He thought maybe because something wrong was going on, that Krishna wasn't eating. He said, "Please eat. Come and eat. Please eat. My father said you had to eat your dinner, your lunch. You have to eat." "Oh, really? Okay." Gopinath said, "Okay. Come on, eat. Eat more." And Gopinath eat, actually eating it. Handful after handful, he's eating everything in front of him. "Keep eating." And eventually Gopinath ate everything that was on the plate. There was nothing left. And Raghunandana thought, "Oh, very good, Nadi. That's finished." And he took the plate off and washed the plates, and life went on. Later on, Mukunda came back and said, "So, did you manage to do everything?" "Yes, father." "Okay, well, can you bring the prasad now? I'm hungry." "Gopinath ate everything, father." "Gopinath what?" "He ate it all." "Huh? Really? He thought, my son is a very truthful boy. He can't be telling a lie, but what's going on here? So a little while later, he asked his son to again offer. So this time, Raghunandana brought the plate in again, but this time the father hid himself to watch what was going on. So Raghunandana brought the plate in and, come, please, my Gopinath, please eat. Gopinath said, I'm already stuffed from lunch. You want me to eat again? This is a dramatic license. I can't eat anything, but please eat something. All right then. So he took a laddu and started eating the laddu. Mukunda was stunned. He saw what his son said was true. And then he realized his son was actually the greatest devotee. Very, very great devotee. In Kandapa Manjari, in the spiritual world, he's also sometimes Pradumna at the Chattavyuha. He's an incredibly elevated soul. And from then on, of course, not much is said, at least I know of. But then when Lord Chaitanya moved to Puri, they would go, Mukunda and Raghunatha would go for the Rath Yatra and this and that. So Lord Chaitanya, and they would dance. And they, it was the Kirtan party from Sri Kunda, they were prominent members of that party. And Lord Chaitanya, one time, he called Mukunda over. He said, are you the father or is Raghunandana the father? Mukunda said, Raghunandana is the father. He said, how is that? Because one who awakens your Krishna consciousness is the spiritual master. He is the father. And Lord Chaitanya said, you are correct. And actually, Raghunandana is your father. So we may see this relationship in this world, but it's just a temporary thing. It always changes materially anyway. But spiritually speaking, the one who awakens our Krishna consciousness is our real father. He's our real father. Anyway, Raghunandana Thakur, just a little bit. Who else have we got? Vishnu Priya, Devi Dasi, we've already mentioned, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He came a little later. He didn't directly participate in Chaitanya Leela. He appeared in around about 1638 in Nadia. And he was a brilliant scholar, right from childhood, in Sanskrit and everything. He learned so many things from different scholars in the area. Brilliant scholar. Could not be defeated in debate. He was undefeated. In fact, some acharyas compare him to be an expansion of Rupa Goswami. No one else has seen, as far as commentaries go. Of course, Jiva Goswami is there. But other than that, Vishwanath Chakravarti is seen as the greatest commentator on Vaishnava, Siddhanta. So he, parents could see that he was extremely detached from material life. And as all loving parents do, they like to keep their children bound up at home as much as possible. So they got him married at a very young age. But he was completely disinterested. Completely disinterested. And very shortly after marriage, he just left home and flew off to Vrindavan. Not fly. Those days, there were no airplanes. Had to walk. But he went off to Vrindavan. And parents tried to get him back, this, that, the other. It is said that he did come back. And his spiritual master, Radharaman Chakravarti, was his initiating spiritual master. Although his siksha guru was Narottam Das, who long time passed away from this world, but on a transcendental platform, they have a relationship. So you see the samadhis down at the Radha Gokulananda temple there, established by Lokanath Goswami, but the samadhi of Vishwanath Chakravarti and Narottam are both there. And his guru tested him. He ordered him, he said, I order you to sleep with your wife tonight. Funny instruction for the guru to give. But he ordered him, you have to sleep in the same bed with your wife. I order you. So he did, but he just laid there all night, motionless, chanting Hare Krishna without stopping. So when the guru found out, he said, very good. I know you're completely qualified and detached. And then shortly he left back for Vrindavan again. And he became very most famous commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, Sarata Darshini, Bhagavad Gita, Sarata Darshini, and many other literatures. He compiled many, many literatures and commentaries, basically establishing our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta in the eyes of many challenges at that time. The Ramanandas in the Alta Valley were challenging the authority of Gaudiya Vaishnavism and their style of worship. But One of the disciples of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhushan, challenged these Ramanandas, and basically between him and Vishwanath Chakravarti, they defeated the arguments of these persons and established the Gaudiya Vaishnav line and the style of worship, worshipping Radha Krishna, Parakiya Ras, and so on like that. So he also spent much time at Radhakund. He stayed at Krishnadas Kaviraj's bhajan, place where he compiled the Chaitanya Charitamrita, his place of bhajan. And there he wrote many things. It is said that the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him in a dream that you should make commentaries on the Goswami's literatures. So that's what he did. He wrote the most profound, and most of Srila Prabhupada's purpose are, there's many commentaries, Jiva Goswami's commentaries, Sridhar Swami's commentaries, and other Acharyas' commentaries, which Prabhupada obviously used, Sanatana Goswami's commentaries and so on, but Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentaries are probably the most prominently used, very clear and very amazing commentaries. And the Lord told him to do this. So it said that clouds would gather overhead to shelter him from the sun. And when the storms would come, the rain would not fall on him. He would be protected from the rain. And the Lord was always protecting him because he was his very dear. So he's Vinod Manjari in the spiritual realm, associate of the Goswamis in their Rupa Manjari forms. So he's also one of those eternal associates of the Lord who appears in this world to assist the Lord. And he was the leader of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas during the... He departed in about 1708, thereabouts. So he was the leader. Today is his departure day, disappearance day. Maybe a big festival down at the Radha Gokulananda temple, I don't know. Very important day. And who else? We have Pundarik Vijayanidhi. A very exciting personality. Any of you have been to Pundarik Dham? Any of you have been to Pundarik Dham in Bangladesh? No? If you get the chance, please go. It's a wonderful place. It's near Chittagong. Chittagong is an amazing pilgrimage place. This is where Pundarik Vijayanidhi appeared. Also, in that same place, Mukunda and another Mukunda and Vasudev Datta, they also appeared in that same place. It's ISKCON property. Fabulous place. You see Radhakund, Shamakund, Govardhan Hill. So many wonderful... It's just a wonderful atmosphere. It's incredible. It really is like... Look to Vrindavan, hidden Vrindavan, hidden there in Bangladesh. Fantastic place. Please go if you have the chance. But that's where Pundarik Vijayanidhi appeared. He appeared in a very wealthy Brahmin family. And he was very, very famous in that area. He had many followers. And he was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. But this was all unknown to other than those who were known to him. Unknown to people in general. But one time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Navadvip, in Mayapur, with his devotees, he suddenly started to cry, "Bop! Bop! Bop!" Everyone wondered, what's he doing? It's not some kind of rock dance or musical, go bop dancing or something. He wasn't doing that. He was calling bop as kind of a colloquial word for father. "Father, father, where are you? When will you come? I cannot bear your separation any longer." He was going like this. Nobody knew what he was told. Pundarik, he was calling the name. "Pundarik, Pundarik, where are you?" Nobody knew what he was referring to. Maybe Pundarik, in name of the Lord, is he just calling for the Lord, or is it some devotee? They didn't know who it was. And then the Lord said, "Please pray. Every one of you, please pray that he will come soon. I can't bear his separation." So almost immediately, Pundarik appeared in Navadvip. He had his own house there, and he had his own followers, but he wasn't known to the people in that. They just thought he was a materialistic person. He looked like a materialistic person. He was dressed in fancy clothes. He had long, shining, groomed hair with perfumes, and he had dots all over him, and his sandalwood tilak, and, you know, he looked like a real dandy. As we say sometimes, he looked really fancy. And I don't know, he really thought he was anything more than a
best materialistic devotee. And but he was hiding his real identity. Sometimes great devotees hide their identity so they don't have to, you know, have this kind of dealings with ordinary people so much in terms of worship and so on. So he was just like that. He was living happily like that. But Lord Chaitanya knew very well that he'd arrived. And he was eager to meet him. So that when he'd arrived, very few people knew. Only Mukunda and Vasudev Dutt knew, because they knew him from Pundarik Dham, from Chittagong. So Mukunda, one day, he said to Garada Pandit, who was a close associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's schoolboy associate, he said, Garada Pandit, Garada, I know you have a great longing to associate with a very advanced devotee. Come with me. Today I will take you to meet a very great devotee. So Garada was very excited about this opportunity. He always loved to meet great devotees. Come, come. So he took him to the abode, to the residence of Pundarik. They got to his house. And Godarda Pandit offered his obeisance. Mukunda offered their obeisance. And Pundarik was sat there on a bedstead, which was like, you know, beautiful silk sheets and nice columns and draperies. And everything was, he had servants fanning him with peacock fans, he had spittoons, there was pan was there, bowls of fruit, people were feeding him fruits, he was looking in a mirror, his hair was being groomed, he had little dots and spots here, just looking at everything very nicely, beautiful silk dress. And Godarda was there, and Pundarik said, "Oh, Mukunda, so wonderful to see you. And who is this wonderfully effulgent young brahmachari who's with you?" And then Mukunda introduced him. "Oh, it's very wonderful that you have come. I'm so happy to see you here today." And Godarda was becoming a little perplexed, because he was a real simple, very austere brahmachari. And he was seeing this Pundarik sat there like a real sense enjoyer. He hadn't seen the likes of it before. He thought, "What is this? Mukunda has brought me here to meet a very great devotee, but what kind of great devotee am I meeting? He doesn't look like it to me. He looks like a Vishayi." And he was becoming a little doubtful in his mind. Now I'll read exactly what Mukunda said so we don't miss out on this nectar. So then Mukunda, seeing the doubt within the mind of Godarda, began reciting from the Srimad Bhagavatam. We won't read the Sanskrit, but this is in the 10th canto, maybe the 6th chapter, dealing with Krishna's deliverance of Putana. Mukunda said, "Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of a mother to the she-demon Putana? Putana was unfaithful and always hankering for the blood of human children. With that desire in mind, she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breasts and came to kill Krishna. But because she offered her breasts to the Lord, she attained the greatest achievement. She became a nurse in Golok Vrindavan." When Mukunda recited that, that was too much for Pundarik. He couldn't handle it. Pundarik completely collapsed and fell off of his bedstead, crashed to the ground, crying, my Lord, you are so merciful. You are so merciful. You are my life and soul. I know nobody but you. I am so fallen, I've been deprived of your association, I'm a wretched creature." He was going on and on and on, and then he went into a trance. He came out of the trance after a while. Godarda was watching, stunned. He came out of the trance, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." He began rolling around the floor, thrashing his limbs in every direction. Everything was smashed. The spittoons flew into the air. Everything crashed left and right. Nobody knew what the heck was going on. He ripped his cloth to shreds. His hair was disarrayed. Everything was smashed.
And then after a while, he went into a complete trance. For 6 hours, he remained in trance. Gadadhara Pandit was stunned, totally stunned. His heart, he felt so disgraced. He felt ashamed that he could have thought like this about Pundarik. He didn't know what to do. Then he realized, the only atonement for this is to completely surrender myself to Pundarik. So when after 6 hours, he discussed it with Mukunda, and Mukunda was very happy. He said, yes, now you understand. He said, Mukunda, I have not yet accepted a spiritual master. All the other associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do have spiritual masters. I haven't. I wish to approach this great personality. Mukunda said, yes, you make the right decision. So sure enough, when Pundarik came out of trance, then he approached him, and Pundarik agreed to give him initiation on the Dwadashi day, coming Dwadashi. And then, after that, before the initiation, Pundarik that night then went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy, and they embraced each other for what seemed like eternity. They couldn't let go. And here's some of the things which were conversed between them. Oh, my dear Krishna, you are my Lord and Father. I am a great offender. This is Pundarik. Please punish me. Punish this wretch. Oh Lord, you have liberated everyone in the world. Only I have been deprived of such good fortune. Lord Chaitanya said, oh, my father, Pundarik, finally I'm able to see you today. Today, Lord Krishna has been very merciful to me. He has fulfilled my desires. I have met a person of my heart's desire. Lord Chaitanya speaking. The Lord has created Pundarik simply for him to distribute love of God. The statement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So because Pundarik is none other than, who is Lord Chaitanya? Lord Chaitanya is in the mood of Radharani. And who is Pundarik? Brishabhanu. He is none other than King Brishabhanu. So he's actually in the mood of Radharani. He's the father of Srimati Radharani. So this relationship is so binding and so intense. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Puri, also Pundarik would also come quite often. He was very close associate of Srup Damodar. They would always be playing and embracing each other and touching each other's feet and various pastimes together. They were so close. So close. One time, it was the Odanashasti festival when they dressed Jagannath in starched cloth. Certain, every day, you know, different cloth the Lord gets, amazing different vaishas. This day, they dress him on this special occasion in starched clothing. So, generally speaking, starched cloth, which is not being washed, is considered impure. So, when Pundarik saw that they were dressed, the Daitas, not only the Daitas were dressed in starched cloth, but the Pujaris were also wearing starched turbans and starched clothes. And he thought, what is this? This is very impure. This is against the directions of Shastra. The cloth has to be cleansed first. It's not correct. So he was a little doubtful about this. So when he was walking away from the temple with Srup Damodar, they had a debate. Very friendly debate, but Pundarik was saying, I don't understand this. This is against Shastric injunction. And Srup Damodar said, well, it's a local custom, so it must be okay. And Srup Damodar, and then Pundarik said, but that's not correct. You can't do that. Well, maybe for the Lord he can do what he likes, but even the pujaris are dressed like this. They're impure. And he left it like that. And Srup Damodar, and they're just jovially talking. That night, Pundarik, when he took rest, suddenly, who should come into his dream? Lord Jagannath came into the dream with Balaram and said, listen here. Listen here. You know, We're the bosses around here. We make the rules. Even the Shastric rules which you're referring to are made by us. And if we want to break them, we can. It's not your business to interfere with what we want. And then Lord Jagannath started bashing Pundarik left and right on his cheeks. Bang, bang, bang. Oh, how fortunate. Pundarik was thinking, how so fortunate I am. And he woke up in the morning, he was all blue and black with bruises. And then when he saw Sarup Damodar, he was in ecstasy. That I am so fortunate that I have had the touch of Lord Jagannath and Lord Balaram. He was very special devotee of the Lord. And anyway, these are just a few things we have to now wind up with Raghunath Das Goswami, who's usually the longest of the conversations. We'll see how time goes. Try to keep within our time framework. Another interesting story about Raghunandana Thakur, when he was danced, sometime when he was dancing, it said that he was dancing so wildly one time that his ankle bells flew off. He was wearing ankle bells. They flew 2 kilometers into the air. So wild was their dancing. Yeah, they were quite wild sometimes, these personalities. We shouldn't necessarily imitate. But anyway, ecstatic. And the final one we mentioned today, Raghunath Das Goswami, is quite well known to most of us. He appeared in this world a little after Lord Chaitanya, around about 1494. They didn't keep birth certificates in those days. There was no such thing. So there's only approximate dates given. Sometimes no date at all is given. But approximately 1494, thereabouts. So he appeared, the son of to the Majundar, Govardhan Majundar. They were great landowners, very rich and influential people, Hiranya and Govardhan Majundar. They're famous. They were close to the family of Jagannath Mishra. Jagannath Mishra, very friendly with them. Lord Chaitanya considered them like his uncles. They were very close with Advaita Acharya as well. They were extremely charitable to all the devotees. They were so rich. They were really rich. They owned so much property. And the Hussein Shah, the Muslim governor at the time, he leased the town of Saptagram, which is where they were residing, near there. He leased the whole place to them. They had to pay a lot of money, about 1,200,000 rupees, or equivalent of, in those days. Huge amount. Which is more or less their entire income. But then they got the income from that town, so they recuperated their income from taxes and so on. But they were super rich. So Raghunath Das was born into this super rich family. And they were not Brahmins, unlike the other Goswamis. He was more Kayastas. They were like Shudra merchants. They were very qualified. I think I said Shudra, but they're more like Vaishyas. Very qualified people, materially. So he was born into a great opulence. But he was always very devotionally inclined. Now their Acharya, Bhagavan Acharya, was their priest, so he was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya as well. He was always educating Raghunath Das in the understanding of Vaishnavism, devotional service. And they were blessed also, because one time Haridas Thakur came to their house. This was before, a long time, even before he was associating with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Haridas Thakur came there. And the boy was just a really small kid, again, maybe 4 or 5 years old. And Haridas Thakur blessed the child and taught him everything he had to give about devotional service. So he was really blessed by the association of Haridas Thakur in the house of his father and uncle. And then later on, not so long after, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, was living in Navadvip, Mayapur. And later on, Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. Up to this time, Raghunath had only heard about Lord Chaitanya, but had not had his darshan. So he was very eager, always very eager, He wanted all the time, even though he was a teenager, he was desperately eager at this time to go and leave home and go and join Lord Chaitanya. He'd been poisoned by Haridas Thakur, and he wanted to leave home. And he was desperately trying to get away. But his parents, noticing how detached he was, they got him married to the most beautiful girl that you could find in the three worlds. She was compared to Sachidevi, the wife of Indra. She was so gorgeous. And they were just trying to bind him down, but he was always trying to escape. They couldn't keep the guy down. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, and he went to the house of Advaita Acharya, somehow or another Raghunath heard about what was going on, and he decided he was going, and he ran away from home. Literally, he ran away. And his parents were kind of freaking out. So he went to Shantipur, and the time week or so Lord Chaitanya was in Shantipur, he had that great opportunity to associate with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Advaita Acharya knew him, he knew the family well. And so he stayed there in Advaita Acharya's house, and Lord Chaitanya, he placed his foot on Raghunath's head. The boy was blessed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after serving Lord Chaitanya for that period of time, then he returned back home, Lord Chaitanya told him to go home. And then Lord Chaitanya went to Puri, and the boy was at home, and he was just completely mad. The parents didn't know what to do. They employed 10 or 12 guards just to keep an eye on him, round the clock, constant vigil. They didn't know how to keep this boy tied up. He's always trying to escape, and then they bring him back. And although he had a beautiful wife, and one mother said, tie him up to a rope, with rope, tie him to the pillar. The father said, what good will that do? He's a madman of Chaitanya. There's nothing we can do. He's crazy. He's completely mad. And they tried everything they could to keep him down. And then Lord Chaitanya, so they managed for a few years, maybe 4 years, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his way to Vrindavan, and again he came through Shantipur. So this time Raghunath was, I've got to go. By this time Lord Chaitanya was quite well known. So his father agreed, but he sent all the guards with him, and they all went off there to Shantipur just to keep an eye on him day and night. So he went there to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, don't be a fool. You're behaving like a fool. You should behave like a good pound, shillings, and pence man. You should behave properly. You're a householder. Go home. Perform your duty, but in your heart, it's like a wife who has another lover besides her husband. You're meditating on that all the time. So in your heart, you maintain your devotion. And in due course of time, Krishna will fulfill all your desires. But right now, you go home and behave properly. And Krishna will reveal the plan to you, how you will fulfill your actual desire. So he did. He went back to Saptagram. And there he behaved like a really good boy. Well, by this time, he was more than just a boy. He was now a young man, married. And sure enough, his parents thought, oh, he's come to his senses at last. He's becoming normal. And because he was behaving very nicely, and he was helping his father and uncle to manage the estate. Once upon a time, there was one local Muslim tax collector who'd previously been collecting the taxes in Saptagram, but now he was no longer, because the Saptagram was now under the Majumdars. So he was very envious. So this tax collector went to the Nawab Hussein Shah and started complaining. He said, these Mujumdars, they're usurping your wealth. They are giving you 1.2 million rupees, but they should be giving much more. Their earnings are much higher. They're embezzling government funds. They should be punished. So sure enough, Nawab thought, we better check this out. So he sent his men there to bring them to him, to arrest them. They went there. Govardhan was away, and Hiranya was hiding somewhere. They weren't there. So they saw Raghunath. So they arrested him instead and brought him to the king. The king was ready to torture him. If you don't tell us where your father and uncle are, we're going to torture you. And then Raghunath Das then spoke so sweetly on universal brotherhood and how, you know, we're all related and, you know, love and everything. He just spoke so sweetly. The king, this Nawab Hussein, he's a little pious Nawab Hussein. His heart melted. And he said, all right then, but you make some arrangement to settle this whole thing, and then I will forget it all. So Raghunath did. He went back and made an arrangement. The king was satisfied. The tax collector, everyone was satisfied. So Raghunath was an expert diplomat. Expert diplomat. And after this, the parents were a little bit more relaxed. They thought, oh, he's really doing good now. He's really settling down to normal life. So then, sometime after that, Lord Chaitanya sent Nityananda, get out of Jagannath Puri, go and preach. So Nityananda turned up, and he went to Panihati, which was not far from Shaptagram. So in Panihati, Nityananda arrived with all of his band of merry men. They were all there in Panihati, and they were sitting there on the bank of the Ganga. And at that time, when Raghunath heard that they were coming, then he took permission, and this time, of course, it wasn't so difficult. He seemed to be normal again. And he went to Panihati to get Raghunath's association. And Raghunath was there, sitting there under a banyan tree, and he saw Raghunath at a distance. Nityananda saw him at a distance, and he was paying his obeisance. He said, "Come here, you thief! Come here! Why are you staying at a distance?" Thieves, they always stay at a distance. "Come here!" So he had him forcibly brought in there, and he placed his feet on Raghunath's head. He said, "You are a thief. You need to be punished. I'm going to punish you." Raghunath was very happy. He said, "I punish you. You have to arrange a great festival for everybody here. You have to arrange a great festival." So Raghunath Das Goswami then immediately, he wasn't Goswami then, just Raghunath Das, he very happily began to prepare a great feast of chiradoi, chip rice and yogurt and condensed milk and a wonderful festival. This is one of the favorite festivals of the year. Fantastic festival. So he arranged this whole festival all in clay pots. They brought all these big clay pots and mixing all the preparations, distributing two pots to each and every devotee. Some were sitting in the Gangas, some were sitting here and there on top of it, just and that. And they were great. And people came from all around. Thousands of people. When there's a festival, everyone turns up. Bhagavatam class, only the diehards are there. When the festival's there, everyone comes. Feast. Everyone's there for the feast. So they're all coming from all around. People are coming with their carts to sell different things as well, knowing there's people there, a good market. So Raghunath was buying it all and giving it all away like this, because he was so rich and he had men to help him. And it was a grand festival. Then afterwards, they went to Raghava Pandit's house. But Raghunath Das asked Nityananda to please bless him, that he could attain this goal of his life, that he could join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu then, by the mercy of Nityananda, he said, "Only by your mercy can I get the mercy of Chaitanya." So Nityananda blessed him. And he asked all the devotees to please bless Raghunath. In due course of time, your desires will be fulfilled. So sure enough, shortly after that, although guards were still there, they were a little bit lenient, but not, they're still there, still worried. So one night when they were sleeping on the Durga Mandap, he was sleeping out on the outside on the Durga Mandap, the guards were there, but that night they were sleeping very soundly. And Raghunath Das's spiritual master, Yadanandanacharya, came there, and he requested if Raghunath could come with him that night. Because he said, the normal pujari is not able to do the service and he needs someone to help, and Raghunath would be the ideal. Could he please come and help him with the services? So the family naturally agreed. It's the family priest. Not family priest, they had more than one priest, but he was the guru, the spiritual teacher of Raghunath Das, Yadunandana. He was initiated by him. So he went with Yadunandana. And on the way, there are different stories. Sometimes it says on the way, sometimes it says when they reached the temple. But whichever way, Raghunath Das took the opportunity to leave. He disappeared. There were no guards to be seen. The parents thought, oh, he'll be safe with his guru. But no, there were no guards to be seen. Raghunath went, he disappeared in the night into the forest. He went through the jungles, stayed in some cow shed at night. In the morning, when everything was revealed and they went to, the parents said, "Where's Raghunath? Where's Yadunandana? Let us speak to Yadunandana. Maybe he's still with him." "Oh," Yadunandana said, "no, I thought he went back home. I don't know. I haven't seen him. He's disappeared." "Oh, no." The parents were stunned. They were so disturbed. Immediately they sent dozens of guards in every direction. They realized at that time Shivananda Sain was taking the party of Bengal devotees to Jagannath Puri for the Rath Yatra. So they quickly caught up with Shivananda Sain's party. "Shivananda Sain, is our son Raghunath Das, is he with you?" "No, we have not seen him. They tried everything they could, but nowhere could they find him." Raghunath was going through the jungles. Eventually, after 12 days of fasting for 9 of those 12 days, he eventually reached Puri and he surrendered. He clasped the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya received him very lovingly into his fold, said, "Now you've been saved from the deep dark well of family attachments. I now place you under the guidance, the shelter of Swarup. You will be the Raghu of Swarup." So Swarup Damodar adopted him like his son practically, and he stayed with Swarup Damodar throughout the whole time when Lord Chaitanya was in Puri. For 16 years he stayed in Puri. The parents still tried everything they could to entice him to come home, but he was not budging. At first, Raghunath was taking remnants of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prasadam, but after 1 month he stopped taking that, and he was just begging outside the Singhadwara gate of the Jagannath temple. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased. He said, Raghunath said, "This food is too opulent for me. If I eat this, my mind will become disturbed. For one who's in a renounced order of life, this is not recommended." But his parents then found out when Sivananda Sen came back that he was there in Puri. So then they sent servants with money and all sorts of things for Raghunath. And Raghunath was, at first he thought, "I don't want to know about this." But then he thought, "I can use this in Krishna service." So he used it to serve the other devotees. And every twice a month, he would arrange a huge feast for all the devotees in Lord Chaitanya. And in this way, this was going on. But after a short while, after some time, Raghunath stopped doing that. He thought, "If I accept food which is offered by a materialist, my mind will become wicked." And this is a fact. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj emphasizes this. If you eat food, of course it wasn't necessarily cooked by them, it was just ingredients or means of ingredients. But still he made this point clear, that if we eat food cooked by a materialist, or prepared or offered by a materialist, your mind will become wicked. There are many lessons which Raghunath Das teaches, dozens and dozens of lessons by his activity, which is for all of us. So then he stopped doing that. He refused to accept that charity from his family. So then he went back to the Singhadwara gate for a while. Lord Chaitanya asked, "Where is he then?" "He's there." Then he stopped doing that. Then he was just going to the free food places outside the gate. He thought, begging, you have to say this person gives, that person doesn't. There's a kind of a duplicity in the mind. So then he was just taking the free food from the free food stalls. Then he gave that up after a while. Then he went to the place where the cows are given the leftover remnants of Lord Jagannath's nighttime. They throw out the leftover rice, whatever it is. And whatever they didn't eat, that he was eating. He would wash it. And one day Lord Chaitanya said, "Where is Raghunath now? I don't see him here. I don't see him there. I don't see him anywhere. Where is he?" "Now," they told him, "now he's taking this food stuff." So Lord Chaitanya went there and saw Raghunath there cleaning this rice, which is already offered, and that was his maintenance. So then Lord Chaitanya said, "Raghunath, what are you doing? How are you doing this? Here you are enjoying a feast and you're not inviting me?" And he grabbed some of that old rice. And Lord, "No, my lord, this is not fit for you." Lord Chaitanya took a morsel and he was in ecstasy. "I have never tasted such rice as this in my whole life." This is how Raghunath lived. He lived so renounced, even in Puri. One time, he wouldn't directly approach Lord Chaitanya very often. He'd usually go through Swarup Damodar. But this time, Swarup Damodar said, "We'll ask Lord Chaitanya." So he asked him this question: "What is the duty of one in the renounced order of life?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "The duty of one in the renounced order of life, he should not eat palatable foods. He should not talk anything other than Krishna Katha. No Gramya Katha. No nonsense talk at all. And he should not dress in fancy clothes. This is the duty. And in the heart of hearts, he should be constantly focused and meditating on Radha and Krishna. This is the duty of one in the renounced order of life." Now, this is a very important instruction given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So of those three, Gramya Katha is the worst because that affects everybody else. Dressing in fancy clothes is the next worst because that affects those who see you. And if you eat too much, that just generally just affects you. So that's the order. The worst is Gramya Katha, talking mundane stuff, because that pollutes everybody. So in this way he lived in Puri. Lord Chaitanya gave him a Shila, which is, as we mentioned earlier on, Govardhan Shila, which is now said to be in the Radha Gokul and Nanda temple. There's a debate, but then he usually accepted it. So he then, after Lord Chaitanya's departure from this world, Swarup Damodar, a couple of years later, he also left, and then Raghunath Das decided also, he'd been given the instruction to take shelter of Rupan Sanatan. So he left Puri after Swarup Damodar's demise, and he went to Vrindavan with the intention of jumping off of Govardhan Hill and giving up his body. Another lesson. Sanatana Goswami prohibited him from doing so. This body is not yours. This body has been given to be used in the service of Mahaprabhu. It is not yours to give up. Another lesson. This body doesn't belong to us. This body is Krishna's property and is meant to be used in Krishna's service, not the way we necessarily want to do. It's meant for Krishna's service. So then he stayed there in Vrindavan for the rest of his life. Lived quite a long life. I can't remember. About 80 years or something, more or less. He stayed in Vrindavan and he performed bhajan mainly at Radhakund. Not always, but mainly at Radhakund. And there we have his samadhi is there on the banks of Radhakund. His kutir, where he performed his bhajans there. Sometimes he'd go to Manasi Ganga. There are many stories there. He wrote several books. He wasn't so known for his writing of books. He was very much known for his renunciation. He would just, basically he was not sleeping. He would just take a poundful of buttermilk as his daily sustenance, sometimes not even that. One time there was one local Brijbasi who was herding his cows. One time he sometimes would bring him buttermilk. This day he brought him buttermilk, but he bought these cup plates, and they were palasha leaves, very big leaves. And Raghunath Das said, "Where have you got these big leaves from?" Because they weren't common in that area. "Oh, I've just been to Sakistali, and I brought them from Sakistali." "What?" Raghunath went into a rage. He threw the cup on the floor in great anger. "How could you do that? That is the residence of Chandavali." He wouldn't even mention her name. "I am a follower of Radharani. I am Srimati Radharani's maidservant. How can I take anything from there?" He was so angry. "We do not want to hear about that place." He was very chaste in that sense. So in this way he performed his bhajan every day, circumambulating Govardhan Hill, bathing in Radhakund several times a day. Every day he'd offer 1,000 obeisances to the Lord, 2,000 to devotees. Everyone he saw coming he would accept as a resident of Braj and worshipable. Everyone. He worshipped everyone. He performed his bhajans there. He didn't even have a hut. One time he was there, two tigers came, and it said that Krishna actually protected him from those tigers. Sanatana Goswami got wind of it. He said, "You have to have a hut. How is this? Your Krishna himself is protecting you. You can't allow this." But he didn't. Later on, it was a blazing hot summer's day in Radhakund. Govardhan has the highest temperature in the world, practically, for an urban center. It's very hot there in the summer. So he was a very hot day. And he wasn't caring. He was just performing his bhajans. Radharani came by and she saw he was sitting in the blazing heat. She came over and held her own cloth to protect him. And she was sweating like profusely, protecting her devotee from the blazing. So when Sanatana heard this, "This is too much. First you engage Krishna, now you engage Radharani. This is not the business of us. You must have a hut." So then he agreed. He had one bhajan kutir. And he remained there throughout his whole life, showing the perfection of renunciation and humility, tolerance, all the qualities of a Vaishnava. And of course he's the Acharya Prayojana, Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, the three limbs of knowledge, so to say, practice. So he's the Acharya, he's the of Prayojana, the highest perfection of love of Godhead. He manifested that. Anyway, our time is now expired and we have to move along. You've got, some of you are going on the Shobhayatra to the Shamasundar temple. We don't hold you up any longer. I guess we better finish there. I'm sure there are many other stories you could think of and might come to mind. We thank you very much. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami Avribab Mahamahotsav Ki. Srila Raghunandana Thakur Avribab Mahotsav Ki. Srila Vishnu Priya Devi Dasi Avribab Mahamahotsav Ki. Srila Pundarik Vijayanidhi Avribab Mahamahotsav Ki. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Tirubab Mahamahotsav Ki. Jai. And Hare Krishna. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Oh, let me just read something really wonderful. Really wonderful. This is two sentences and we'll be finished. Here we go. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The very name, Vishwanath Chakravarti, is the crest jewel of all the Vaishnavas. He's one who expands the circle of bhakti. That's the Chakravarti. and reveals the jewel of Vishwanath, Vishwanath Chakravarti. So he expands the circle. He wrote a very beautiful, prayer. He bhaktadvarayam chanchat valadi rautivo munak prasadam labhatam yasmad vishishtas vehanatati. O devotees, this poor creature is standing at your doorway, waving his tail and barking. Please let him have a little prasadam so that he may become exceptional among dogs and get the best of masters as his owner. He's referring to himself. It's a pun on his name. The word Vishwanath is exceptional. Shva, Vishwanath, Vishva, like a dog, Nath, having a master. So we consider this as his sign of his intense humility. He just wanted to be a dog, waving his tail at the door of his master, begging for some prasadam. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.